Amen. Second Chronicles chapter 20. And it's, you don't have it, Emmanuel, so it's... verse came to me as I was sitting listening to that song, that when we don't know how to pray, the Spirit helps us with groaning and moanings that cannot be uttered. And when I go to the Word of God and I don't know how to pray and I don't know what to ask the Lord for, and I go to the Word, there are so many great examples of prayers that were heaven shaking and earth moving, that caused the hand of God to move on behalf of God's people. And this is one of my favorites, 2 Chronicles chapter 20. It happened after this that the people of Moab, one nation, and the people of Ammon, two nations, others with them besides the Amorites, and came to battle against Jehoshaphat, at least two nations. We believe historically that there were four. Then some came and told Jehoshaphat, saying, "A great multitude is coming against you from beyond the sea, from Syria, and they are in Hahazaron, Tamar, which is in Gadai." And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself, the Bible says, set himself to seek the Lord. Proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. So Judah gathered together to ask help from the Lord. From all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. Then Jehoshaphat stood in the assembly of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court and said, and this is his prayer, "O Lord God of our fathers, are you not God in heaven? Do you not rule over all the kingdoms of the nations? And in your hand is there not power and might, so that no one is able to withstand you? Are you not our God, who drove out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel and gave it to the descendants of Abraham, your friend forever? And they dwell in it, and have built you a sanctuary in it for your name, saying, if disaster comes upon us, sword, judgment, pestilence, or famine, we will stand before this temple and in your presence, for your name is in this temple, and cry out to you in our affliction, and you will hear and save. And now, here are the people of Ammon, Moab, Mount Seir, whom you would not let Israel invade when they came out of the land of Egypt, but they turned from them and did not destroy them. Here they are rewarding us by coming to throw us out of your possession, which you have given us to inherit, O our God. Will you not judge them? For we have no power." I love it. "Against this great multitude that is coming against us, nor do we know what to do, but our eyes are upon you. Now all Judah, with their little ones, their wives, and their children, stood before the Lord." Father, thank you for your word. We know that you're in this house because we feel your presence. And for that, we thank you. Take your word and make it real to our hearts, we pray, in the mighty name of Jesus. Let eternal things be accomplished for your glory and for your honor. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said,
Amen.
Amen. Jehoshaphat had a problem. A big one. Three nations, at least, came against him, and I can see his butler running into him because he's king and saying, "You got to look out the window, Jehoshaphat. You got to see this." Looks out the window and the city is surrounded. And they're not coming to have a party. They're coming to destroy them. And I like what he does. He doesn't fret and stew. He doesn't run to the internet to find what other people have done. Hello? He doesn't call up the pastor. He doesn't call Springfield and see what he should do. The Bible says he set his face to seek the Lord. I'll do one thing, he said. I'll do one thing. I'll seek God, but I'm not going to do it alone. And he called all of Judah together. And he said, we're going to fast and we're going to believe God. And I'm going to go to the Lord in prayer. Prayer is the intangible that moves the hand of God. I don't know how it works. I haven't served God long enough to know how it works. I don't know why I can bow my knee before God and ask Him in the name of Jesus and something happens. I don't know. But it does. And that's good enough for me. Amen? And so he goes to the Lord in prayer, and I like the way he prays. I want to make it my pattern. I want you to make it your pattern this morning. He deals with four P's. He deals with four P's. I like to keep things organized. First, he goes to God in prayer, and he talks to God about his power. He's not talking about these nations that have come against him. He's not talking about his own inadequacy, even though he does confess that at the end of the prayer. He talks about who God is. This is why it's so important, the Word of God. This is why it's so important, our dialogue one with another, as we discuss God and what He's doing for us. It builds faith. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Not by praying, not by fasting, not by reading the Word, but by hearing the Word of God. And he goes to God and he says, listen, Lord, are you not God in heaven? In verse 6? Do you not rule over all the kingdoms of the nations? And in your hand is not power and might, so that no one is able to withstand you? You're God of gods and Lord of lords. When I go to God in prayer, when you go to God in prayer, and you measure your circumstances to His omnipotent power, it changes the way you're going to pray. It changes how you're going to see your circumstances. All of a sudden, your problem's not that big anymore, because you've compared it to the omnipotent power of God, to the one who stood on nothing when there was nothing to stand on and said, let there be light, and there came light. The ruler of the synagogue understood this. The centurion, rather, understood this when he said, don't come to my house, just send your word. Just like you did at the beginning when you spoke light into being. Just do that for my servant and everything will be taken care of. And Jesus said, I've never found faith like this in all of Israel. Send your word, the power of God. Are you not our God who drove out the inhabitants? And then he deals with the second part. He says, listen, your performance is out of this world. If your power is fantastic, if there's no one on earth that is as powerful as you, forget about, is God big enough that he can make a rock he can't move? Forget about that philosophical stuff. That doesn't matter. I know God's powerful. I know that in my finite mind, I never will have the capacity until I walk in a glorified body to understand who my God is. I just have to believe who He is. Amen? I just have to trust who He is. I read what He's done in the Word of God, and it says to me, your God is powerful. Your God will work on your behalf. I raised two children. And I would have done anything for them at any moment. How many know what I'm talking about? Right?
Amen.
Those of us who have children. And some more than others. Like Stephen and Raul. But we do anything for them. And some things that we want to do for them are beyond our ability, our power, and our financial resources. How many know what I'm talking about? But we serve a God that nothing is beyond His power. Nothing's beyond His financial resources. He has it all. And the Bible says He has it on our behalf. He is my heavenly Father. And when I call out to Him, He says, hey, that's Peter calling. Got to do something, Father. We got to do something on His behalf. His power. And then He says His performance. He says, are you not God who drove out the inhabitants of the land? Jehoshaphat says, I remember what they told us, those who saw it. They said under Joshua, we came into the land and there was a city. There was a city that was impregnable. Nobody could stand against the city of Jericho. And you told us to do something that blew our mind. All we're going to do is walk around it. Once a day for 6 days, and then on the seventh day we're going to walk around it 7 times, and on the seventh time we're going to blow trumpets and we're going to yell and we're going to scream at the top of our lungs, and then something's going to happen. I invite you to go home. When you get home, stand in the middle of your living room, mate, turn around once, and then tomorrow turn around twice, Tuesday turn around again. Do it for 6 days, and then on the seventh day, do it 7 times and yell and see if anything happens to your walls. This doesn't make sense. I think God uses what doesn't make sense to show us this isn't about you. This is all about me. When you get done, I want you to understand I did it. You did nothing. I did it. Are you not God who drove out the inhabitants of this land, verse 7, before your people Israel, and gave it to the descendants of Abraham, your friend forever, and they dwell in it and have built you a sanctuary in it for your name, saying. When I am in trouble, a good thing to concentrate on is what God has done for me. I've encouraged you to make a list of everything God's done for you. Take it down to Staples and get them to plasticize it. Put it in plastic and pin it. Make two of them. Pin it to your refrigerator, pin it to your bathroom, pin it wherever you first see. Go and do it, and then when things are going all messed up and things are going bad and you can't see beyond your trouble, look at that list. Look what the Lord has done. Look what the Lord has done. He healed my body. He saved my soul. He saved me just in time. I'm going to praise His name. Look what God has done. We look at our circumstances. We look at others. Oh, if only I could sing like Susie, the church would be full. Oh, if only I had the money that Elon Musk has, then I could do anything. We'd have a new parking lot. And we go through all this stuff, comparing ourselves with others and comparing ourselves with what we don't have, and we concentrate on that which will not help our circumstances instead of remembering what God has done for us. Amen. All through the Word of God, the Lord is very careful to tell us, remember, remember, remember. And for those of us that have a short memory, we got to write things down. Amen. So that we can then look at it and see what God has done. And he says, we built you a sanctuary to your name. You're here. We know you're here. Right through the veil there is the Ark of the Covenant. And we know that that's where your presence dwells. And you have demonstrated your power over and over and over again. Yes. Had he listed everything that God had done in this verse 7 and 8, he then would, this chapter would have lasted till the Revelation 22-21. Because there's no way you're going to tell everything God's done. And then he says, oh yeah, Lord. And then you said this, if disaster comes upon us in verse 9, sword, judgment, pestilence, famine. Sword, because others want our death. Judgment, because we have disobeyed you. Israel understood that. You know, every time I read the story of Israel, I get excited. Because it tells me in bold letters there's hope for me. Amen? Because they were up and down. One moment victorious, the next moment defeated. And defeated because of their own sin. Defeated because of their own disobedience. And God still reached out when they cried out to Him and saved them. Glory be to God, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. What He did for Israel, He does for me, and He does it for you. Aren't you glad? I mean, I grew up in old-time Pentecost. You know, I knew that if I ever went to a movie, the rapture was going to take place and I was going to stay right there. I knew that for beyond a shadow of a doubt. And those of us that grew up that way, we knew it, right? Man, don't you dare think a vulgar thought. You'll go straight to hell. And you won't go by going, you won't collect 200. And then I learned that God chose me, hear me carefully, knowing every failure and every shortcoming that exists in me. He knew it when He chose me, and yet He chose me.
Amen.
And He's big enough to take those shortcomings and make them into victories, and He does it over and over and over again. So it says, if disaster comes our way by sword, by judgment, when I mess up, by pestilence, when things come our way, or by famine, and we stand before this temple in Your presence, for Your name is in this temple, in the name of Jesus. There's power in the name of Jesus. I can remember a young lady attending our church in Little Rock, in the middle of the song service, started demonstrating the power of the devil. She was full of demons. And the ushers grabbed her and took her into the back Sunday school rooms. And all you could hear is my father saying, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Didn't say anything else. Didn't tell the demons to leave. Didn't bind them. Didn't do a thing. Just in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. And she was set gloriously free. And all it was those four words, in the name of Jesus. Five words, in the name of Jesus. That's it. Because Your name is in this house. His name is on you. His name is on me. And it's an all-powerful name.
Amen.
That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. Every tongue confess that He is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. The name of Jesus, He says here. He says, I know Your name is here. And He says, are You not our God? If disaster comes upon us, Your name is in this temple. And then He says this, cry out to You in our affliction, You will hear and You will save. I can see Jesus now looks at the Father and says, boy, we're in trouble now. Yeah, Jehoshaphat knows about our M.O. He understands who we are. We cry out to You. You will hear and You will save. Now, grant you, does He always save the way we want Him to?
No.
I mean, I go big. I knew that when Caroline got sick, that God was going to give her a brand new kidney. I knew it. And I was wrong. He just walked through the whole process with her. Just walk. And we got back, what, two months ago? We went down for your two-year checkup?
February.
Yeah. And it was flying colors. God knows what He's doing. God, I can't understand why. I don't know how many people have prayed for you, Susie. 1,000? Probably. That's probably. And yet, you still have days you can't. I don't understand that. But He says in His Word that that will happen. I remember I stood by the deathbed of a man in my church in Whiteville. And he looked up at me and he says, Pastor, he only had one lung and that was filling with water. And he was almost drowning. You could hear the gurgling in his breath. And he says, Pastor, you know something? This is great. Excuse me? Excuse me? You're dying. I didn't say that to him. I thought it. This is great, Pastor. You know, I'm going to get a miracle. I'll get a little dinky one, or I'm going to get a big, huge one. I said, yeah? He said, yeah, the little dinky one, God will heal my lung and make it, put another one in there. That's a small miracle. Or I'll go to glory and I get a brand new body. Hallelujah. I get the presence of God. He says, I'll never be sick again in my life. God gave him the big miracle. I don't understand that. I'll never know why it works that way. But he says here, Jehoshaphat says, you will hear and you will save. So he says, I know your power is omnipotent. I know your performance is out of this world. And I've seen your promises, because that's what this is. This is a promise. My children sang when we were itinerating, I am a promise. I am a possibility. I am a promise with a capital P. I'm a great big bundle of potentiality. See, it's not just the word that's a promise. You and I are walking promises of God. The people around us ought to see that we're the promise of God. That's why I have to be careful what I say and what I do. I'm glad at the traffic circles that nobody can hear me. Because I have to conduct myself so that I glorify God. See, he says, if disaster comes upon us, you will hear and you will save. That is the promise of God. Now, if you have problems with that, just take your Bible and get a notepad or a notebook. And as you read through it in your own private devotions, every time you see a promise, write it down. How many know you're going to have a whole lot of writing down? Amen? Because it's full. But it's those things you're going to be able to take when things are going bad and you can't see beyond it. Someone said, what do I do, Pastor? Things are so bad. Look at the Word of God and read what God has said about your circumstances. Amen. It's there. My uncle had a saying, he always said, it's in the book, sir. Yes. That's what we need to tell the devil. Isn't that what Jesus did? Yes. If Jesus did it, isn't it good enough for me? It is written, he told the devil. And the devil couldn't do anything about it. So he deals with the promises of God. Look what he's done. He has emphasized the power of God. He has emphasized the performance of God. He has reminded God of his promises. Someone said, well, what do I need to remind God? I don't know. He just said to. So if he said to, I'm going to do it. See? He walks up to a blind man. Jesus himself. The blind man. There is nobody in this church that doesn't know that Bertie is blind. We all know, right? It's obvious that she's blind. Jesus walks up to a blind person and he says, what would you like me to do? What a dumb question, right, Bertie? That's a dumb question. What do you want me to do? It wasn't because Jesus did not know what he needed. Jesus knew. Everybody knew. The disciples knew. No, Jesus wanted to hear him ask him for what he needed. Amen. So the promises are there. And God wants us to remind him because God wants us to understand and know that we know what he's told us to remember. So I am going to learn his promises. Start memorizing them. You said, but Pastor, you're asking me to memorize the entire Bible. Yep. These are what the promises are. And then he says, well, you know, Lord, he says, and we've got this little problem out here. So he's dealt with the power. He's dealt with the performance. He's dealt with the promise. Now he says, I gotta tell you, Lord, we got a problem this morning. We got some people that don't like you and they don't like us. And besides the fact, this is not just our problem. This is your problem. He gave the problem to God. He said, because you wouldn't let us destroy them. You said we had to leave them alone. Besides the fact, they're our cousins anyway. And we would like We would have liked to have destroyed them back then. It would have made things a whole lot easier for us, but you wouldn't let us. So God, this is your problem as well. I'm just going to give it to you. I am sure beyond a shadow of a doubt, Jehoshaphat knew victory was going to be his.
Amen.
He just didn't know how. He says, people of Ammon, people of Moab, people of Mount Seir, whom you would not let Israel invade when they came out of the land of Egypt, but they turned from them and did not destroy them, verse 10 and verse 11, and they are rewarding us by coming to throw us out of your possession. See, this is yours. Your kids rebellious? They're yours, Lord. We dedicated them to you. Someone said, why do we dedicate our children to God? Because then when they're rebellious, I can give them back to them. Yeah. See, this is your fault, God. You deal with it. And you know the Lord always comes through? My son stood in the middle of my house, looked at me, and said, I hate you. That's what he said. Didn't bother me at all. Hear that, Lord? I gave them to you. This is your problem. You deal with it. Glory to God. I'll tell you what, God knows how to deal with rebellious children. Just let him do it. That's why it's important to dedicate them to God. We're going to do that on the 22nd, right, Ruth? On the 22nd. We're going to dedicate
Anaya.
My. Whatever happened to Ruth and Naomi and Sarah and, you know, Mary and Martha. But anyway, Anaya. Beautiful name. Anaya. We're going to dedicate her to God so that when she is older, Stephen can look at her and say, God, now you protect her. I'm going to send her off to school, but you protect her. Glory be to God. I'm going to pray over my daughters. He's got two beautiful daughters. Man, you need a submachine gun and an anti-aircraft gun when you have daughters like those two. And the same with Raul. Man, I'll tell you what, we would gather Erica and Jonathan around the family altar in the morning and we would say, Lord, you protect them. They were going to private Christian schools. If I were sending mine out to a public school today, there'd be a whole lot of praying every single morning. Before they went out the door, I'd follow them as they got on the bus. I'd be praying and talking in tongues when they got on the bus. They would think I'm nuts because I'm going to cover them with the blood of Jesus. The devil will use all his resources against them. I'm going to use all mine for them. Glory be to God. Amen.
Amen.
See, so they're wanting to kick us out of what you gave us, Lord, which you have given us to inherit. And then he says, I love verse 12. He says, oh God, our God, will you not judge them? For we have, here's the confession, we have no power against this great multitude that is coming against us. Nor do we know what to... First of all, we don't have any power. We don't have any resources. We are impotent in this situation. And then secondly, we don't even know how to do it. If we had all the resources, we wouldn't know how to use them anyway. We don't know what to do, but our eyes are on you. I got a situation, Pastor, and I really don't know what to do. You're in good shape. You're in real good shape. Because when you don't know what to do and God does it and sets you free, then you can't take any of the glory. You can't take any of the glory. I had to be in court for a situation that was going to be devastating to Lee and I because I had made a mistake and disobeyed the voice of God. And I don't know, how many of you have ever seen a lawyer get up at about 7 in the morning? You never hear from them early in the morning. Got to be in court Monday. He calls me early in the morning and he says, I don't know what happened, but your case has been dropped. It's all done. You're free and nothing's going to happen. Glory be to God.
Amen.
See, I couldn't take any of the glory because I didn't do anything. I didn't say anything, and I like to talk. I didn't say anything. God did it all by himself. He says, Peter, I don't need you in this circumstance. I control everything. I'm going to do it. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. got stopped by the gorillas. I walked to the front of the vehicle. Where are you going? I'm going to Medellin. And then all of a sudden there is a whistle from the bushes and he rushes away. I don't know what happened, except God up in heaven did something that caused him to run away and leave me alone. Amen. Are you hearing me?
Yes.
I did nothing. That's what's the beauty of it. He gets all the glory. He says, we don't know what to do. And all of them stood before the Lord. Now, I love this part. You got to follow me here. Because we got a prophet. He's the son of Zechariah, Hahaziel. And he's the son of Benaniah. He was the son of... I don't know why he tells me who the grandfather, the great-grandfather, and the great-great-great-grandfather is. But he says they're a Levite, the sons of Asaph, in the midst of the assemblies. And he stands up and he says, here. You got to listen to this. Listen, all you Judah and you inhabitants of Jerusalem. And you, King Jehoshaphat, listen. Thus saith the Lord, do not be afraid nor dismayed because of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, the battle is God's.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah.
He stands up. Now he's putting his reputation on the line here. Because listen to what he says, tomorrow, go down against them. Now, remember, Jehoshaphat just said, we have no power and we don't know what to do. Now, Hahaziel says, you go down against them. Well, how? I can hear Jehoshaphat saying it, right? They will surely come up by the ascent of Ziph, and you will find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeriel. You do not need, I love this, you do not need to fight in this battle. Position yourselves, stand still. Now that's a tough one. Right, Jose?
Yes, it is.
Don't do a blessed thing. Just stand there. Oh, but you don't understand, Lord. If I stand there, I'm going to be an open target. How many know it's easier to shoot something that's still than something that's moving? Right? He tells them, go down there, get close to them, and then stand. This is the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard. Don't build embankments. Don't hide behind a tree. Just stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, who is with you. Now, I know what God does. He's got them standing there. He just leaves them standing there for a while. Let's see if they run or not. They stood there. I love it. See the salvation of the Lord who is with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Do not fear or dismay. Tomorrow go out against them. The Lord is with you. And Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem bowed before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. They got happy. Over what? I don't see any solution. Anybody see any solution there? Go down and stand still and watch. That is the hardest thing for American Christians to do on planet Earth. We like to be doing something. I got to be praying. I got to be reading. I got to be rebuking. No, stand still. What does still mean? Don't do anything. Don't say anything. Don't sing. Don't do anything. Just stand still. Then the Levites and the children of Kohathites and the children of Koroth, stand up to praise the Lord and all of Israel with a loud voice. So he says, one of the most ridiculous things on earth. He says, you get the choir together. You get the choir together and you're going to send them out in the battle. And I'm going to tell you what you're going to sing. You're going to sing verse 21. Praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever. Look at what verse 21 says. And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed those who should sing to the Lord. who should praise the beauty of holiness. And they went out before the army and were saying, praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever. And when they began to sing and praise, glory to God. See? Well, we got a problem. We got a problem in Ukraine, Trump. And I think we ought to invade Russia. And I think we ought to get the Mormon Tabernacle Choir and we ought to send them in first. Let them parachute out of our transports and let them sing, praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever, and watch Putin run. That's about how ridiculous this whole thing was. It did not make any sense. Listen to me. God doesn't make sense so that he gets the glory. This didn't make any sense. But I love it. When they began to sing and praise the Lord set ambushes against the people of Ammon, Moab, Mount Seir, who had come against Judah, and they were defeated. I love it. But my favorite verse in all this is verse 25. And Jehoshaphat and his people came to take away the spoil. They found among them the inhabitants of valuables on the dead bodies and precious jewelry, which they stripped off for themselves, more than they could carry away. It was more than they could carry away. They forgot to get the oxen and the carts. And they were 3 days. How many days? 3 days collecting the spoil because there was so much. Glory be to God. Amen. Glory be. This is what happens. I'm going to praise his power. I'm going to remind him of his performance. I'm going to read his promises. And then I'm just going to tell him, oh, in passing, Lord, we have this problem. And then I'm going to do what he tells me to do. I don't see any argument here with God. I don't see anybody saying, you know, that's really stupid, Lord. The choir? Really now? I love musicians. I think they're talented. But they're not the ones I want fighting for me. How many know what I'm talking about? Amen? A clarinet's a good instrument, but it won't kill anybody. Amen? I know Larry plays a mean trumpet. Well, he doesn't right now because he's missing some teeth. But he plays a mean trumpet, but that's not going to cause Putin to run and hide. I don't care how good you are. Are you hearing me? And I'm going to ask you to do this, and when you do it, I'm going to bring about the victory. We don't know how he's going to bring about the victory. We don't know anything about it, but the Bible says God did it all by himself. Glory be to God.
Hallelujah.
He's God on the mountain. He's God in the valley. He's God everywhere. I know my God is God, and God will never fail. Amen? Because that's who he is. 3 days. Now I am sick and tired of the devil spoiling the Church of Jesus Christ and fellow Christians. I'm tired of it. I'm going to follow Jehoshaphat's plan, see if it won't work for me. Amen? Because if he did it for Jehoshaphat, he can do it for me. Glory be to God. Verse 27, then they returned, every man of Judah and Jerusalem with Jehoshaphat in front of them to go back to Jerusalem with the joy, for the Lord had made them rejoice over their enemies. What do you have for an enemy? What do you have for a problem this morning? Leave it to God. He'll make you rejoice and he'll allow you to rejoice over your enemies. So they came to Jerusalem, verse 28, with strings, instruments, and harps, and trumpets in the house of the Lord. And the fear of God was on all kingdoms of those countries when they heard that the Lord had fought against the enemies of Israel. Amen. Amen. What was the purpose? I'm going to make them glorify me. You say, I don't know, Pastor, I don't know. Things don't seem to be going all that well for me. I don't understand how God's going to do that. Good! Amen? Amen? That's great! You don't know, that's, you're in the best position possible. You don't know. Because when you don't know, you won't interfere with what God knows.
Amen?
Amen? See, my problem is, I can do it better than the Lord. Anybody else have that problem? I want to help him. I want to, whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your heart, the word says. I want to help him. And the Lord says, be still, Peter. Because he knows how hard that is for me. Be still, shut your mouth, and let me do it. I remember I had a real bad problem in the second church we pastored, and I didn't know what to do. So I shut myself in the sanctuary. We had new locks on the door. Nobody had the key but me, so nobody was going to come in. Saturday morning, I walked up to the altar, and I says, okay, God. I says, this is it. I'm not opening that door until you answer me. And I began to pray Colombian style. I thought for the abundance of my words, God was going to intervene. And I prayed until I was hoarse. God's my witness. And I can't pray anymore. And I said, God, why don't you answer me? And he said, because you don't shut up long enough for me to say anything. And I laid on that altar. I laid on that altar. And God poured into me exactly what he wanted me to do.
Amen.
And we had the victory.
Amen.
See, had I gone in there at the beginning and shut my mouth and stood still, God would have done that 4 hours before he did it. And my voice wouldn't have gone. But we sometimes think that for our many words, and the Bible talks about that, we're going to impress God. God's not impressed with your intelligence or mine. Have you ever met somebody that you knew was smarter than you? How smart would it have been for you to try to impress them with your intelligence? Probably the dumbest thing you could ever do. I'm going to trust the Lord. I'm going to trust the Lord. Father, we need your help. We need your help. You live in a different realm than we. And we want to climb into that realm in Jesus' name this morning. We want to understand how you operate, and we want you to teach us how we should operate in Jesus' name. Lord, we need to learn how to pray. We give you every one of our needs. We've done it over and over and over again, and we're going to keep doing it just like Jehoshaphat did. We're going to remind you of what you've said about that need. We're going to take the word of God and we're going to look and investigate and research and find what you say about our circumstance. We will live in your word, and then what you tell us to do, we will do. Without any excuses, without any debate, without any discussion. Help us to obey you in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. And more than anything on earth, we need to be that instrument that you can use in this last day. So teach us your ways in Jesus' name. Lord, we're going to leave this house, but we need you to point out to us those that we can lead to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Make us your instrument to bring salvation to those that we know and that you know and that your Spirit will prompt our hearts to talk to in Jesus' name. And then give us Holy Ghost boldness. Give us Holy Ghost boldness so that we will tell them what you have done for us. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. There's an old chorus I want to sing. Leah. I want to live the way he wants me to live. I don't know if you know it, and the words will come to me as we go. I'm glad God's got a sense of humor, amen. Amen. I want to give until there's just no more to give. I want to love till there's just no more love. I could never outlove the Lord. Amen. Glory be to God. Stand and sing with me. I want to live the way He wants me to live. I want to give until there's just no more to give. I want to love, oh love, till there's just no more love. I could never outlove my Lord. I want to live the way You want me to live. Oh, I want to give until there's just no more to give. I want to love, yes, love, till there's just no more love. I could never outlove my Lord. Will you make it a prayer to Him this morning? I want to live the way He wants me to live. I want to give until there's just no more to give. I want to love, oh love, till there's just no more love. I could never outlove my Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We make that our prayer this morning. We lay aside self. We climb on the altar this morning and we say to the Holy Ghost, kill this old man in Jesus' name. We want to give the way You gave. We want to love the way You love. And we want to do what You ask us to do in Jesus' name. So we give ourselves to You this morning. And we thank You, Lord, in Jesus' name and for His glory. Shake hands with each other as you go. Amen. Let them know you're glad they're here. Amen.
God bless you.
Good morning.